That's what I'm talking about. We're playing games. It's Jane Monzuris on 720 WGN in the Allstate Skyline Studio, filling in for Amy Guth on the Saturday night special. I mean, I think it's going to be a really great night. That's what I think. Apparently, I'm not sure what the bosses think, but they called me and said, "Hey, Jane, do you want to do the show on Saturday?" I was like, "Yeah, okay, let's see what happens. It'll be fun." I always think they're a little nuts for just letting me like take the reins and go for it, but I think it'll be fine. You know, you can always chime in, text us, call us if you want to talk about the show. We are at 312-981-7200. Of course, you can follow us on Instagram or Twitter. I'm at Jane Monzuris. And I only do this because I want to get more followers. And if you're going to have a platform to do it, you might as well just like kick off the show doing it. In the booth tonight, my producer, Vivian Leneux. Hi, Vivian.
Hello.
Vivi. Can we just call you Vivi all night?
You can call me Vivi.
Vivi, yeah.
Vivi.
Or
yeah,
Vivian.
Vivian. We can try Paraskevi, but that seems to be hard.
I love Paraskevi. And Dave Jennings in the news booth. Hey,
yes,
Dave.
Hello,
Dave. How are you?
I'm fine.
Are you ready for a ride?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Oh, my gosh.
That could be a problem.
You are a smart man, David Jennings. This is good.
Mom didn't raise a complete fool.
See?
Trust me.
That's good. Now, I'm curious, guys. I always like to know, have you done anything exciting today, last night? Did you do anything fun, David?
I came home from here, watched a little TV till about 1 in the morning, and went to bed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's just so exciting. That's just thrilling stuff.
Vivi.
I actually got a red light facial.
You got a red light facial?
Yeah.
Is that why your skin is glowing?
Is it?
It's glowing.
Maybe it's because I got a tan, too. Maybe that's
You got a tan in Chicago?
California. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You didn't do that today.
No, not today. Meaning, in general, I got tan when I was in Cali. And red light facial today, so that's why my skin...
That's a banner day. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not very nice.
What did you do today, Jay?
Oh, thank you. Well, actually, I just came from a little soiree party, which is why I'm probably really happy. And I promised my favorite almost six-year-old that I would say hi to Xavier, and my favorite three-year-old that I would say hi to Maddie. So there, I'm done. Check that off the list. But we had a great time playing games over there. But you know what? Last night, I went to the North Suburban YMCA Strong Kids Casino fundraiser at the Chevy Chase Country Club in Wheeling. And we took the drive all the way up there. It's like going to a whole nother country, right? Because I live downtown. But super fun. 500 people in attendance. Great cause. Raising money for kids of all ages. So super fun. My favorite part was playing craps. Is it craps? Yeah. And blackjack?
Yeah.
It is craps.
It is craps.
When it goes around the circle?
That's roulette.
That's roulette.
Yeah.
Okay. Craps is with the dice.
Oh, no. Okay. So it was roulette. So roulette and blackjack. Blackjack I know how to play because my Uncle John taught me when I was, 18. But roulette I don't. But it was so fun. I bet like $1,500 and I lost and I didn't care because it wasn't real money.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the greatest day ever.
I feel like I would still be upset if it was not money.
I thought if it was real money, I wouldn't have ever put that much down. But I still don't know anything about roulette. But I don't want to know anything about roulette because do you play roulette, David?
He's
not saying anything.
I never tried. I've been to Vegas a couple of times. A friend of mine works in a casino, took me to another casino where she has some friends, and she knew some of the dealers. So I got my $200 lesson playing blackjack. And then I went to the craps table. That was the $400 lesson. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to stick to one roll of quarters at the slot.
Oh, that's fun. That's okay. My rule is this. Whatever you show up with, if you make that money back and then some more,
you quit.
Well, you put the money that you brought and then some more, a little bit more. So you double your money. And then you play with whatever is extra. So if I want to gamble $500 and I made $1,500, I put $1,000 away. So I know that I made my money.
That's smart.
And then I play with $5. And then I lose it right away. This, by the way, has never happened to me.
The thing that I find scary about casinos, and the last time I was in Las Vegas, and they were just putting them in, and I'm looking around, and they're machines that are only for $100 bills.
Oh.
I know. That's sad.
I mean, who are the people that can put a $100 bill per shot in a machine?
You'll be surprised. A lot of people.
No, I would. I'm very disappointed, and I'm not one of them.
Well, I think, honestly, guys, people go there with the intention. They don't have the money. they just have the $100 bills and they're going there like, okay, I need to win this. But so I don't know. I guess there's our people. They set aside gambling money. But isn't it interesting that back in the day, Vivian, whatever your name is.
Like 15
David,
names.
You and I are going to know this. Back in the day, because Vivian's way too young, you couldn't gamble anywhere but Vegas and Atlantic City.
Yep.
And now you can gamble everywhere.
In fact,
everywhere.
At one point, you could only gamble in Vegas.
Correct.
There was no Atlantic City.
Correct.
Wow.
And now you could go down the street a half hour and go to the casino boat.
You can go to Indiana. We've got a couple of casinos in Illinois.
Yeah.
There may at some point
be one right here in the city.
Maybe one here. Who knows?
Right off
what
a Navy
the future
Pier.
Holds.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I know. I just find that interesting.
And of course, the next big thing is going to be sports betting.
Well,
because in a number of states, sports betting is now legal.
Yeah.
It's now legal.
Oh, it's legal.
It's already been made legal. I think it's legal in New Jersey, among others.
Yeah. The sports betting to me is so far beyond my scope of like knowledge or even interest. Because I know a lot of people that do a lot of that betting in Vegas, but I don't understand it. So I don't know. I guess there's something for everybody, right? I'm going to stick to playing blackjack for fake money.
That's a good idea, I think.
That's safe.
I know. It's totally safe. And
it's fun. You had a great time.
I had a great time. It was really fun. And I realized I like to play blackjack. My Uncle John, when I graduated college, took me and my friend Julie aside and sat us down and said, okay, girls, you're going to Vegas, because that's where we took a trip. I don't know why, but we went to the Hoover Dam. We're in Vegas and we go to the Hoover Dam? Are you kidding me? We're 22 years old.
It's a big deal. It was one of the engineering marvels of the world when it was built.
At age 22 in Vegas? I don't think so. It was really safe. Anyway, I appreciate my uncle for teaching me blackjack, because now I can play at casino nights in Wheeling.
And what do you do when you're dealt two aces or two
split
kings?
Split them.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, see, they said you're good. And I was telling jokes last night. It was so much fun. But we have a great show. I love that you guys are here. We're going to have more fun. We are going to talk about the Greeks next, because the Greeks invented everything, including parades.
That's right.
And if you want to chime in on any of our conversation, we want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. We will be right back at 720 WGN.
Opa!
720 WGN. I'm Jane Monzura, filling in for the lovely Amy Guth on the Saturday Night Special. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio, and what would we want to call this? Like, could we call it our, like, avli, if this was our courtyard or something?
Our avli, yes. Absolutely.
Even though we're inside?
Yeah. Or we get a great view, so
we do. Does that work for us?
It works for us.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
Well, here's what's happening right now is I pretty much can't come on the air without doing something Greek, and I pre-apologize for that. Todd, I'm really sorry. It always just happens, especially when we're talking about the Hellenic Heritage Parade, which is happening in Greektown on Halsted Street on May 5th. And my producer, Vivian, is going to be a co-host of the entire event.
Woohoo!
Which is so great. I love this event. It's very near and dear to my heart because it celebrates my Greek heritage. So, of course, I want to promote it. I want everyone on the planet to show up. I don't know if the street can take that many people, if everyone from the planet shows up, but anyone in Chicago listening. Joining us in studio is the Hellenic Heritage Parade organizer.
Yeah, you could say that.
In charge of, I don't know, Myra Zantidis.
Zantidis, you got it.
Zantidis. I like to do the D with a th, right?
That's right.
Zantidis.
Technically, that's how we say it in Greek.
Thank you very much. So let's talk about this parade, because it's a couple weeks away. Let's see, we've got 2 weeks until it's Greek Easter, so 3 weeks away. Mm-hmm. May 5th, Cinco de Mayo is a great idea for a Greek parade. Girls, what's going on with that?
Myra, this is all you.
I know.
That's all you.
Well, everyone's coming downtown for Cinco de Mayo anyway, so we figured that, you know, we'll have an early start and bring them down at 2 p.m. to kick off the parade, and then they can go off and drink as much as they want with the Mexicans.
So it's like tequila and ouzo all mixed together, right?
We actually reached out to the Mexican community, and they were so excited for us. We figured, you know what, it's a great day, great weather, hopefully.
Yeah. You know what, today would have been a great day for a parade.
Yeah, I'm a little curious about what tomorrow is going to bring, but
yeah, as well. talk about the snow. No, I'm excited for the Greek parade. I go and I wear my Greek shirt and I wave my Greek flag. And I feel like because the Greeks invented everything, we pretty much invented yeah. parades.
Is she said that a few times.
Is that right or not right?
I'll continue to say it, too. That's going to be the
Because I'm just
part.
Looking for to you for answers.
I think I need a Wikipedia page here. I'm not really sure if we invented the parade, but we did invent a lot of things. And it's a great day to celebrate all the things that we did invent.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's a great day where not only the kids can put on their costumes, everything means something. So when they put on those little costumes, every bit of their uniform, all those materials, they all symbolize something. So they get to learn a little bit about that. You know, we get to celebrate which parts of Greece that we're from, bring a little bit of that culture to the day. We get to eat a lot of food. All the restaurants are open. It's just happening. Little ouzo.
Of
if
course.
If you've never had ouzo, you have to have ouzo.
Especially from Greektown.
Definitely.
And the parade is happening. It steps off at 2 o'clock?
Well, 2 o'clock, it typically
Greek
begins.
Greek time's like 2:30.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're Greeks, you know. We say 2 o'clock in hopes that one day like, we'll be on time.
Maybe so you're
three.
Looking at like 2:30, yeah. 3, 4.
Probably.
I'm just kidding.
No.
2:30. I'm kidding.
We need to wake up from the naps and then, no, I'm just kidding. But really tell us, besides Vivian being a co-host, because the other MC is Alex Margos.
Margos.
And he's from NBC.
That's correct.
And he couldn't be here tonight because he's out of town.
Well, you know, you're so hard to find and you're so busy that next year.
Actually, I was going to ask if I could host next year.
Well, the offer's out there.
I'll do it.
There's thousands of listeners right now. So if you commit now.
That's right. We're on the radio.
That's right. Hello.
No, 100%. I would love to. You know, I love to because it just celebrates my heritage. And I think about how proud my family would be. Right?
That's
to be
right.
able to celebrate like that and to be allowed to be the MC or a co-MC, I think is such a special, you know, ask.
Well,
it's
how
a special
about this?
Position.
Vivian?
Yes?
Would you be willing to co-host with Jane next year?
Absolutely.
Oh, she's going to cry.
Give me tissues.
Oh,
yes.
No,
Jane, we're going to do it together.
We'll do it next year. But thank you. That's very. I was going to have to grovel and beg to see if I could do this.
I'll still make you grovel and beg.
Okay. I'll bring you gifts. I'll bring you kaluria, whatever you need. So, Vivian, besides your hosting, tell me, what are you excited for this?
I am so excited.
Is this your first time hosting?
This is my first time hosting. And when they told me, I was like, wow, yes, absolutely. I'd love to. So it's fun. It's always fun. I always go to the parade, but I cover it with the Hellenic Heartbeat.
Oh.
So I'm usually always there, but I'm covering it for another station. So now that I get to actually be part of the parade, it's awesome.
Okay, so girls, here's the deal. People, like you said, this station just blows a hole through the entire Midwest region of this country. So a lot of people may not be aware of what happens at the Greek Heritage Parade. We know what happens at the Irish parades. We know what happens at the, you know, Magnificent Lights parades at Christmas time. So when people show up, who can show up? Can people volunteer? What can they expect to see?
Anyone can show up. Everyone is welcome. We ask that everyone comes just so they can experience a bit of that Greek lifestyle, that culture. They get to live history today. They get to see these kids and these adults all dressed up in. We get people coming dressed as Spartan warriors. We get women dressed
yeah,
as Olympian
fun.
Women, you know, holding the flames and things like that. We get people on floats playing the bouzouki.
The bouzouki. There's floats in the parade.
It's
a real parade, people. Like there are,
yeah.
It is miles and miles of these beautiful Greek floats going by.
Yeah, there's marching bands. There's everything you can imagine. Anything that relates to Greek culture, dancers, yes. We have every year, we have Evzones, who are the presidential guards that fly in from Greece. We're not having the official Evzones coming in this year. Instead, we're commemorating by having 100 women from the northern part of Greece dressed in traditional outfits that will be mourning and commemorating the genocide of the Pontians.
Wow. And, so it's a special moment.
And it's a very special moment. We will have a moment of silence.
Wow.
And then the police will kick off the parade, the marching. So we honor the and value what they do for us. So we always have them front and center as
That's
well.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And isn't that beautiful?
There's dignitaries there too.
Oh, yes.
Will the governor be there?
So we've invited the governor, mm-hmm. mayor-elect, mayor.
Yeah.
We have dignitaries from the United States and from Greece who will be flying in. They already gave us their acceptance. It's a special moment because we see them all together. There's nothing political. It's just one big celebration.
Yeah.
It's just a great time for everyone to unite and just have fun.
So,
and remember that there's a Greek community out there.
A big, great Greek community. And so the organization behind the parade is the Federation of Hellenic American Organizations of Illinois.
Yeah, we're an umbrella organization that basically encompasses a whole lot of smaller organizations and societies here in Illinois. And basically our job is to bring people in the Greek American community together, help them find services and events that will suit them, basically. We also work with government services, medical tourism.
So you're doing a lot of great things.
We try.
I think that's good. Myra, again, how can people get a hold of you if they have information? Mm-hmm. Is there a website to go to?
Yes, it's Enosis, Enosis, group.org.
Enosisgroup.org.
Yes.
Very good. And the parade again is?
May 5th on Halsted Street.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Show up early, have some lunch, go to the parade, and then stay later, have some ouzo, and have some dinner.
Can't wait to see you.
I love it. Myra, have such a wonderful time, everybody. Myra Zantidis from the Hellenic Heritage Parade. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you,
Myra.
Thanks,
Thank
Vivi.
You. Thank you.
720 WGN.
You're looking at me like something's wrong.
I'm not sure where the Jane reference was in that song, Vivi.
There is. It says Queen Jane.
But
if you just let it, yeah, I
if
know.
If I just let it play.
Just let it play for like a full 3 minutes.
720 WGN. It's Jane with the Jane song.
I promise it's a Jane song.
I'm sure
it's by Bob Dylan.
Of course. And people are going to text in right now and be like, don't you know this song, Jane? You should. It's your name, right? I should know. Oh, okay. I love the whole reference to Jane. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I love it.
You're welcome.
Vivi, I got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you feel all the pink power happening in the room tonight?
Yes.
Sorry, David. Pink
Sorry,
power.
David.
Pink power. All girls, all women. My next guest in studio with me, I'm super excited to have here because they're doing something that is helping a lot of people, and they're really embracing their pink power. The organizers of the Habitat for Humanity's National Women's Build Week, which is May 4th through the 12th. This is Chicago, so we'll get into that, ladies. Please welcome Gina Glasgow. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Oh, well, sit up to the mic. That's good. And then, listen, in all transparency, I got to be honest. It is my college sorority roommate, Lynn Michaels. I mean, Lynn Kozlowskis.
That's okay.
That's okay. I call you by the maiden name. We're fine.
Yes.
It was a long time ago.
Oh, God. Yes.
It was
lots of fun. Eons ago.
Eons ago. You weren't building houses then, Lynn.
No. No, no building houses.
I don't ever remember at any sorority philanthropic events you having a tool belt on and hammering anything in together.
No. Usually it was a dress of some sort, singing, maybe dancing.
But now we're talking about building houses.
Yes. Now it's getting dirty.
And
down
listen,
and dirty.
I got to be honest. I mean, I love you.
Yeah.
You're my friend.
Of course.
And you're not just here on the air because you're my college roommate.
No.
And because I let you get away with things. You're here because you guys are doing something really great and you're promoting a really extraordinary week. And I see this and I know it. And so that's why I wanted to have you in today. So, Gina, tell us, first of all, we've all heard about Habitat for Humanity, but just give us the big picture.
Well, Habitat for Humanity, we're a nonprofit housing provider. And we work with individuals and families to provide an affordable home. One of the biggest misnomers may be that Habitat gives homes away.
Right.
We don't give homes away. Our people get a hand up, not a hand out. They work alongside our volunteers. They do 300 to 400 hours of sweat equity along with the volunteers.
So is Habitat for Humanity, it's a national organization.
Yes.
And building houses all year round. Is
yes.
that right?
Correct.
But you guys are primarily focused on the Will County.
That's where I'm with Will County Habitat for Humanity. And we are part of the Chicagoland Coalition.
Okay.
So there was a Chicagoland regional group that was formed with 9 affiliates of Habitat to solve the housing issues in Chicago and the suburbs.
Wow. And you, so you're directly with Habitat. And Lynn, you're a volunteer.
I'm a volunteer.
Yes.
And I'm on the committee.
And you're on the committee for the women's build.
Yes.
So the women's build's a week long because you're building a house in a week. Like Ty Pennington could build a house in a day. What's up with the women here? Come on, we can build a house in a day, or we're building several houses in 7 days?
No, we start yes. the momentum on a build, and we come together to support the community and the people that we are putting in this house eventually. And it's all about coming together, starting something, and being productive in that time.
So take me, so the day of, or the beginning of this week when we're building a house, mm-hmm. I mean, there's like, is it women built, like saws, hammers, T-squares,
yeah. pink hats, pink boots, pink T-shirts. I mean, you'd be amazed at how empowering it is to come together and see everybody kind of in their pink gear, ready to go, ready to learn something new.
Sure. Absolutely, because I would imagine a lot of the women, I mean, yes, there are women there that have, they know what they're doing with this equipment, right? They can actually build something. And there's a lot of women there that don't know.
Correct.
So if you're there and you don't know, if you want to volunteer and you want to help, you don't need to have experience building a house.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, everybody.
She pointed herself. She's like, look at me. I've never built a house before.
And to be fair, I don't normally, you know, put myself in that position.
I didn't think you did.
I like to sing and dance and, you know, put the dresses on. But it is actually really supportive. So if you don't know what you're doing, somebody's right there. And we had a woman last year that came from, I think it was Wisconsin?
Canada.
And she was amazing. I mean, she took women by the hand and said, no, you're getting in there and you're going to try. So it was really empowering.
So one of my favorite things, because I love to make things, right? I don't mm-hmm. necessarily saw anything or build houses, but I do love the idea of creation and taking pieces of whatever and turning it into something, a mm-hmm. masterpiece, mm-hmm. whether you're painting something or you're making dinner, mm-hmm. right? But taking these pieces of lumber and putting your heart and soul, I always say it's the sense of satisfaction when you make it yourself. Mm-hmm. And so if I just put up one wall or I put up one beam, it's like I did that. And yep. forever I'm going to go by that house and go, I built that house, mm-hmm. right? Do you think that part of the draw for people to help is that sense of satisfaction?
One of the best things that I was ever told was by a volunteer who said, every time I drive past that home, it reminds me of the experience. Mm-hmm. And it made them feel empowered that they knew that they helped someone out and it was tangible. They could see it.
I mean, that's just great. So where is this house being built?
We have a couple of houses in Joliet, and there's houses in all of the local suburbs that are participating at designated areas for that week.
So does everyone in the Chicagoland area, then all the Habitat, it's a women's build, and there's one in Joliet, there could be one in another burb, and there could be, they're all over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh.
And women builds are all throughout the year, and they're all over. They're actually national and international.
Oh.
So there is a women's build that could be going on at any time.
Lynn, how did you get involved in this?
Well, I went to volunteer. And met Gina, and I met the executive director, and I just fell in love with their passion, and it became my passion. And I have just, you know, as a volunteer and now on a committee, it's being able to spread some of that excitement and empowerment and growing something into, you know, something that's really special.
And the week is fun, right? Oh. Like, it's not all hard labor. I get to have some coffee and laughs.
Yes.
We have donut boards and yeah. lemonade.
And?
Yeah, we I mean.
You
we
won had, me at donuts.
Yeah. 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 And these are good donuts, let Ooh. Me tell you. Good donuts. But we do have a lot of fun, and we do raffles and we do lunches. Everything's donated by other, you know, companies in the area. We have a full committee getting this together, so it's also fun too.
So it's so not only you're building a house, but there's really an event. Mm-hmm. It's an event behind it.
Yes. Yeah. It is. It's an event, and the women actually come out and they do the work, but they also do peer-to-peer fundraising to raise funds to support the build as well.
Oh, right, because you got to pay for the build.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And who gets the house?
There's a process that we go through in qualifying applicants, and when that applicant has completed the process and shown that they are ready, then they go into the house. So by the time that we build, we like to have them working alongside with our volunteers.
That's great. And so there's two different groups here, right? So there are Habitat for Humanity that are building houses for people in need that are applying for the houses, I would say. And then over on the other side is this group of women and men that are volunteering to help raise awareness, raise funding, do the actual work.
Right.
A lot of work behind this.
Yeah. There is.
How tired are you guys? You have 3 weeks left.
Well, it's ongoing all the time, and donations are always something that we look for all year round. So we are doing a lot of that all the time.
You were an accounting major, Lynn.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so she had
yeah.
to bring up the money.
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, I just got to point it out. I mean, we're not being funny here. All right. We're going to take a quick break. You guys stick around.
Okay.
I want you each to think about the most amazing moment from the build last year. And the most absurd, funniest moment.
No. Oh, I got it.
You got it. You didn't even think about it. All right. So stay there, you guys. We will be right back. It's 720 WGN. CJ, that's what I'm talking about.
I thought you'd like that.
720 WGN. I'm Sweet Jane, filling in for Amy Guth on the Saturday Night Special. VV, we're having a blast.
Yes, we are.
Having some fun. A lot of pink power happening in the house. We have in studio with us the, organizers, representatives, people, girls, ladies from the Habitat for Humanity's Women's Build in Will County. It is Gina Glasgow and Lynn Michaels.
That's fine.
Kuslowskis. I can't call you that.
It's fine.
Okay, so Lynn and I went to college together. You're not here because you're my friend. You're here because this is a great idea, by
Thank
the
you.
Way. But I'm having a little trouble. I mean, you've been married. I mean, this has been your last name for a really long time.
That's fine.
So, yeah, that's good. Ladies, before the break, I asked you to think about two things about this build. So the women's build, you're building a house in Joliet for a recipient from Habitat for Humanity. It is happening May 4th through the 12th. We're building an entire house. Who does the decorating? Like, do you need me to come out and pick flooring?
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Carpeting? Like,
come out. Yeah.
What do I can do
little,
marble tops?
You could do a little.
What's my budget?
DIY?
I could do a lot of DIY.
I like that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who picks the paint colors?
Our homes are simple.
Okay.
She just had to say that.
Yes, Gina.
Sorry to ruin the party.
Oh, the homes are simple. So that means no, Jane.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no simple.
You could be we would welcome you to come out.
Yeah.
No, you would be like, Jane, that's not allowed. We cannot afford that in this house. Actually, I'm all about repurposing. Yep. So I would love to take some old things and turn them into something new in a home. That would be really fun. There's probably a lot of talented listeners out there that could do that as well.
She would love our restore.
Yeah, the restore.
What's the restore?
Oh, so the restore supports Habitat. It's an actual store that they have donated items from, either it could be furniture stores, paint stores, and you can actually go there and purchase stuff and in support of Habitat. It's amazing.
So could I get dresser drawers there?
Yes. Knobs for your
because you can make
cabinets.
A really cool bar cart out of dresser drawers.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. No, you would love it.
My brain's spinning. I stopped the conversation because now I'm thinking about what I can make from the store.
We do repurpose classes there as well.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Where is that at?
On Larkin Avenue, 1395 Larkin Avenue in Joliet.
Okay, I know exactly where that is. That's cool. That's the store.
Yes.
Yeah, the restore.
Okay, before the break, I asked you guys to come up with two stories. Mm-hmm. First, give me the emotional one. Give me the one that's going to just make me cry.
Well, we have a homeowner who was a single mom, and she had two sons, and she talks on our behalf, telling us how she can not thank us enough, because she would not have been able to afford to do the things that she needed to do to support her sons. She was able to go to college because she had an affordable mortgage. She graduated from college, and she was able to go on and get her master's. And this year, she's graduating in her getting her doctoral degree.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing. All of this couldn't have happened if you guys weren't there to help her out.
Mm-hmm. She says if we were not able to give her an affordable mortgage, her life could have been very different.
I mean, this is a true making it forward moment. So it's people coming together to share their time and talent to make something to give to somebody in need.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed her life.
Right.
And you're doing that all over the country and the world.
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
And I think it changes everybody's life. You're touched working alongside somebody who is bettering themselves, and you're supporting them. You're supporting them on that day. You're supporting them in their community. It really does. That's what tugs at my heartstrings, is being able to be there to support women like this woman.
Do you get to meet the homeowners at some point?
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
Do they come to the build?
Yes, they do.
So they know it's their house. They come to build.
Yes.
That's it. That's all I get is yes. Okay. So they will be there.
Well,
then there's a dedication also where it's more formal, and everyone who participated is invited as well.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
I love that. Did we throw our bras in a fire?
No.
Could we start that this year?
Yes.
I mean, why not? That's a good thing to start.
The other thing is there's other people coming through sometimes who might not be going to that home but are also supporting. So, I mean, it's a constant support network of other people who are putting in their sweat equity in all different projects. So it really brings it together and really connects with a lot of people.
And, you know, you think about home, right? Mm-hmm. Home is where the heart is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so those of us, we have a home, we take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine if you didn't.
And it's safety. Or you,
yeah,
it's a safety thing, right?
Yeah.
It's where people can feel safe.
And the ability to raise your children.
Yeah.
On that note, we have a little boy who we recently had his family get a home. And we asked him what his best experience in the whole process was. He said it was quiet and he could read. Mm. And he also said there were no more cucarachas.
Oh, cockroaches?
Yes.
Oh, this poor child.
It's amazing.
I'm so happy for him. Okay, Lenny, it's up to you now. Give me the funny story, the most absurd thing that happened at the build.
Okay. So it was raining, and the executive director was literally doing a spot with somebody from WGN. It was raining and wind, and it was the most hilarious thing, them talking about it. The rain was going, and she was trying to be very professional, and it was hysterical.
It was non-build weather.
Not at all.
Actually, there was Andrea Darlis that did the shoot last year, because I saw the video and it was raining.
It was very funny to see Nicole, who's our executive director. I mean, she's fantastic, but just see her in that condition, I thought it was hilarious. Gina, what did you think?
She literally had drops coming off of the hat.
Didn't care.
No, and she just kept her composure.
Kept going.
Put a smile on your face and nobody knows that it's raining.
And we're like, oh. Oh my God. What is this going to look like?
Was anyone building behind her at this point? Like, do you stop?
No,
is it like
stop.
A Cubs game when it's raining, or a Sox game? You just covered it with tarp and then everyone go takes a break.
Yeah.
We had to call it.
Yeah, we had to call it.
You did?
Yeah, it was kind of sad.
Oh, no. Well, you get 7 days.
Weather's weather.
It was lightning, too.
It's going to snow tomorrow, so I'm glad you're not doing it then.
The other thing is that we have quite a party atmosphere. You know, we set up a step and repeat. You know, people are taking pictures. We have a whole tent. I mean, it was amazing. And we had to pack it up every night.
Oh,
round tables. I mean, it was crazy.
It's a lot of work. But it's fun. It's worth it at the end.
But fun.
You know, in the middle of these big things that you do, as I know, I'm like, why am I doing this? And then when it's over, you're like, that was the greatest thing I've ever done. I'm so happy. I can't wait for next year.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Again, that satisfaction you have. Can I recommend maybe a mani pedi station?
Oh.
Or a massage?
Yeah.
I won't do it, but I can show up.
Yes,
we'll
absolutely.
Work on it.
Don't you think?
A little massage.
Yeah, massage would be good. I mean,
hand massage.
Can't worry about the nails at this point.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. But there's plenty of other things.
Dance party and a tent. Like, that's your break.
Yep.
I do not want to discriminate against our male friends.
Of course not.
Are they allowed to come?
Yes.
They are.
They are.
We actually have.
Do they come in just tool belts and this
They actually wore the pink shirts last
year. Oh, they did.
They did, and they acted as crew leads to help direct the women who wanted to get, you know, a construction experience.
Oh, so you had some real construction guys and construction ladies
right.
out there.
Yeah. It's a mix. I mean, we don't discriminate.
No, of course not. No. Tell me this. Tell us how we can get involved. Where do we go to sign up if we want to raise money or show up and build?
You can go to www.chicagolandhabitat.org and you will find all the information for any of the affiliates participating in the local area.
So any of them in your local area or all the local areas?
Throughout Chicagoland.
Throughout Chicagoland. Yeah. And all the build happens that week, everyone's.
There's five affiliates participating this year at this time, but there's other builds going on.
Okay.
And you can find that information there as well.
Okay, very good. So let's give me that website one more time.
www.chicagolandhabitat.org.
Or you can go to habitatwill.org.
Yes.
And that gets directly to your group.
Yeah. To the Will County Habitat.
Fantastic. Yeah. I wish you all the success in the world. I hope you get raised tons of money, build lots of houses, get lots of volunteers, and go pink.
Thank you, Jane.
Thanks, Lynn. Thanks, Gina. You guys want to get a hold of them. I think this is a great event. Thanks for coming in, you guys.
Thanks for having
us. We will be right back with more great show, 720 WGN. Yes. Woo. No one's ever called me Plain Jane. 720 WGN, I'm Jane Manzuras, filling in for the Saturday night special. Vivian, what do you think? Are you going to do the women's build?
I think so.
Do you think you go out there and do
it? I think I can do it.
I don't know. You seem like you like to keep your nails clean.
Yes, but I like to get them dirty too.
Yeah, and I what I really like
both sides.
Yeah, you know what? Who cares for a week, whatever.
And it's a great cause. That's what really makes me want to do it.
I mean, the story that they told about the woman who eventually then was able to raise her two children in this house that they helped her get.
Yeah,
went on to college, went on to get her master's, now getting her doctorate.
Isn't that awesome?
She's smarter than me.
I love that.
I already knew from the beginning of that story. I was like, well. I'm out. I don't have a doctorate. Speaking of being smart, CNBC did a story this week talking about the oldest children are the smartest children in a family. Now, they're saying research is showing that the oldest children are the smartest. So I was thinking about this, and there's many reasons why they say this. The research was published in the Journal of Human Resources, and they found out that firstborn children outperform their younger siblings at cognitive tests starting from infancy. Did you know this?
My sister's going to love listening to this right now.
Is she older?
She's older.
She's older.
She's 10 months older than me.
Your sister's 10 months older
than
you? We're
Irish twins, yeah.
But you're Greek.
But we're Greek.
So that's okay. Me and my brother are 14 months apart, and we're Greek, and that's Irish twinny. No, it's not that close. I will say this. You know, they're saying the reasons are because the first-time pregnancies, the moms are very careful, right? They're not eating anything wrong. They're doing everything right. They're not drinking any alcohol. I mean, not a sip, right? They're eating everything perfect. They're reading the kids' books and they're stimulating their brains from infancy on.
Yeah.
Then when the second one comes along, they're like, I'm tired.
Yeah, you know? I'm good.
Yeah. They're like, they'll be fine.
I'll have a glass of wine.
Yeah. Go play with your brother. That's fine. He can read you the books. I will say this. My older brother is definitely smarter than me.
You know, I will tell you that my sister academically, she definitely did better than me in school for sure. You know, she was, a straight A student, you know, since kindergarten. So I can see that. I can see that.
Right. And the second child doesn't really get that undivided attention. So they're like the bedtime story stuff. You have to split it in two. But the older child gets undivided attention.
Yeah.
David, you got to weigh in? Older, younger?
Sort of. We're half brothers.
Okay.
Same dad, different moms.
Okay. So. Does that count?
He's the first marriage. I'm the second. So we were both only children.
Right, you're both only children. And is he older?
Oh, yeah.
Is he smarter?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
He's got his PhD. He was chairman of a music department for, I think it was the New York City Public School System.
Yeah.
So, he definitely took after my dad. He did the music thing. I found radio.
Yeah, we all found radio. 312.
Which says a lot about our sanity.
Right, exactly. So we're not smart and we're not sane. 312-981-7200. Are your older siblings smarter than you? And so far, I'd say the three of us in the room would say yes. I don't know. You know, that sounds to me like if we're growing a trend here.
But I think we're all social here, though. So there's, I think there's a difference between, you know, who's smarter and then who has more social skills.
That wasn't in the research, Vivian.
But I'm going to add it in there.
Yeah. okay. So my text messages aren't working. Are we getting anybody talking about it? You'll let us know. So yeah, I mean, I think there's something. I've heard this before. I don't know why it's coming out right now. I think that they just did this survey to talk about the intelligence in siblings or not siblings. I guess we could think about the Brady Bunch. Was Greg the smartest of all the boys? I don't know. Okay. Okay, so what they're saying here is saying mothers just pay more attention to those second kids.
If I remember the Brady Bunch, the boys were all just kind of little loopy anyway, weren't they?
I feel like Greg was the smartest one.
He was more stable, but I mean, a lot of them were just kind of like, it's life. I have no idea what to do with it.
We're the Brady Bunch.
We're the Brady Bunch. I don't know.
Maybe the older kids always just seem smarter to me because they're the older kids, right? They're wiser and they know more.
That's a hard one to prove. Because just because you've lived longer doesn't mean that you've learned more. I mean, we both know people who have reached our alleged stage of maturity, and we look at them and kind of go, wow.
True. This is true.
Uncool.
I do know friends that have older siblings that they would totally say that they're far beyond their smart. So I guess so. We have a caller, Kathy. Did we put her on there, Vivian?
Yeah, give me 1 second.
Okay, sounds good. Oh, Kathy, you're there. Hi.
I'm the oldest of six.
Oh.
And... I have the PhD. My brother and my sister both have master's degrees. But I think my youngest sister is actually the smartest overall.
So meaning smartest academically or smart, you mean street smart and academic smart?
Both. I think she's run organizations. She's achieved honors. National honors, and she was like the superintendent of the Boulder County Special Recreation Program for quite a few years. She set the program up after title, what was it? I forget which title it was. See? I told you, she's smarter than I am.
Well, you have your doctorate too, so I would say you're pretty smart. Thanks, Kathy. Thanks for the call. And I think in that case, that entire family is smart. And here, 9 of 12 kids were all smart in our ways. I totally agree with that. I wouldn't say that just because one person is smarter than the other or have a higher degree, they're not necessarily smarter. I will say, my brother's really smart, or he just thinks differently than I do.
Yeah. We just got a text, actually, from 727. 9th of 12 kids, we're all smart in our own ways.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Like, again, I don't think, like you said, Vivian, you know, you're street smart. Are you book smart?
Yeah.
What kind of attention, you know, are you paying to your older brothers and sisters? And are you just really naturally taking to the books better than not?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel really dumb actually talking about this right now.
Don't.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Okay.
We're smart.
Well, we got into radio like
That's
David
right.
said. All right. So we, good. I know several academically people who have no common sense can make you seem smart. Common sense versus academic sense. You got that right. That's from 815. Thanks so much. I guess it's all on how we see it. Being smart or not smart, but we can talk to these people at CNBC and their research study saying that older children are smarter. Okay, thanks for your input on that. Now I'm going to send it off to something else, and we're going to come back and talk about things that aren't smart, like things I love, food being one of them. 720 WGN. You are so good. I'm Jane Monzuras in the Allstate Skyline Studio, filling in for the Saturday night special. Vivian, thanks so much for all my Jane songs.
You got it.
My one request to producer Vivian was, she said, what kind of bumps do you want in? I go, you know, anything that has Jane in it. So you did really well at that. One of the things I love to talk about, Vivi, is food and dining and Chicago's restaurant scene and all things food. I haven't been to this restaurant, but I will say one of the most talked about restaurants in Chicago. And it's nuts because I was like walking by a table of people the other day and they're like, have you heard about this place called Eden? It's so great. I was just there. I think it was at a conference and the people
were
out
of town. Is that how they sounded?
In my head, they sounded like that. But there's also like a lot of other things going on in my head. Eden Chicago is this restaurant that I'm talking about. In studio with me is chef owner of Eden, Devin Quinn. Hi, chef.
Hello.
How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
I know the restaurant is open right now, and you snuck away to join me on the radio. So thank you.
I did on a busy Saturday night.
I'm sorry. I really am.
Please, all good.
When I asked you to do this, I was like, he's never going to come. Like, the restaurant's open, and it's 8 o'clock. They're slammed right now.
Yeah, we are cranking busy, that's for sure.
So I love, so there's two things. Number one, I love a chef story. And number two, I love to talk about food. So before we go into the food in the restaurant, I want to hear your chef story, because I watch all the Chef's Table and I watch Top Chef, and I mean, really in Chef's Table, they kind of dig into that life of the chef. What made you become a chef?
Well, shoot, I started out my career in biology. I studied biology in college, and that's really translated well through our extensive gardens and greenhouse now at Eden, which allows us to really put some interesting and some really flavor forward things on people's plates every day.
Yeah, imagine, like, biology is perfect to become a chef, because you're doing all sorts of, you know, you're thinking of how it grows and how it's put together, right?
Yeah, I mean, a science mind certainly helps with it, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. And then, obviously, you did other things before Eden. How did Eden start?
Well, me and my wife, years ago when we married, we'll be 10 years on May 5th. We decided we wanted to open a restaurant. I mean, right when we met, but we started Paramount Events, which is a catering company, about 9 years ago. And then 2+ years ago now, Eden opened. And it's, it's always been in the back of our minds and something that we wanted to do, and we're doing it.
So that's so cool, because I didn't know this. Paramount Events started, you had this event company. Mm-hmm. Were you always doing events, or did you do restaurant work before?
I've always done both since I've been in this career, and it's always kind of made sense to me. The restaurant allows us to do things with a little bit more finesse and a little bit finer, but not that we don't do that with the large scale stuff. But
yeah, it's different. When you're serving a mass amount of people versus you have different plates that you're serving out to tables every night, right?
Yeah, it's different. I'm a perfectionist by nature, and it allows us to do things, a little bit nicer.
Sure, absolutely. So I haven't eaten at Eden. I'm sorry. It's a beautiful space. It's bright and sunny and light and airy, and it's gorgeous. It's in the West Loop. Let's see. What's the address? 1748 West Lake Street?
Yes.
Hey, how about me? I have it written down. That's why I knew that. one of the things that I was so intrigued, it was beautiful, but that you have a urban garden, which is like the thing these days.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a passion of mine. Me and my dad built a greenhouse around 10 of our 4x4 foot boxes, and we're able to grow year round things, all of the greens and all of the herbs for our restaurant, lots of edible flowers, things like that. And then outside of that greenhouse, as well as really extensive gardens, Japanese plum trees and lots of elder and, you know, blackberries and lots of really interesting things. We try to grow things a little bit different that you won't see on every plate in Chicago.
Well, and so what makes your menu different and special that we won't see on every plate in Chicago?
Well, you know what? I've had a lot of really good teachers throughout my career, and we have I like to consider it new American cuisine, but mm-hmm. You know, we take things from all over the world, same basic equation of, you know, doing, you know, a balance of sweet and sour and lots of different textures on every plate, and try to think of things a little bit outside of the box, be a little bit different than something you see every day.
So when people show up and we order something, because of course I stalk the menu because this is what I do, and I think about the food in my head and what's going to taste like. When you go, the plates are beautiful, but people leave full because you're giving them tons of food.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I think there's nothing, in my opinion, nothing worse than spending a lot of money and leaving a restaurant and having to go to McDonald's afterwards, right?
Yeah, right.
So yes.
Go home and have a snack.
Our portion size is ample, and we try to make sure that everybody is full and happy when they leave.
What's your favorite thing on the menu tonight? Because I know it's a busy restaurant right now. They're all probably listening to you. So what are you cooking?
Oh, the only item that's been on our menu since our inception is a pork tagliatelle, a really classic blonde bolognese with the addition of apples and Marcona almonds. That's my favorite.
I mean, I'm starving right now. It sounds delicious.
I'm pretty hungry.
I mean, that was great. Just the description. That's why I stock menus, because I read it and then it satisfies me being hungry. Or else I eat it all. So it's probably the best thing. And this is why I just talk about it with chefs on the radio. You mentioned your wife, Jody. So you and Jody run an event company and you run the restaurant, or you run the food, right? And then she runs the other half of it. What's it like? I mean, I don't know. What's it like working with your wife every day?
Oh, it's our life. It's what we've kind of dreamt of, and you know, we planned for, and we live it every day, and it's great. It's more than I could have ever dreamt for.
It's like
how
the
we do it.
Ultimate power couple right there.
Yeah, we do a great job at it.
Do you see each other in the hallways and just kind of give each other a high five or a low hip, or do you just sort of like, I'm busy, I gotta go?
Oh, it depends on, I guess, the mood and the moment.
Right. Okay. With any relationship, we're not even going to go there. I want to ask you this because one of my favorite things about Saturday night is that the next day is Sunday, and that means brunch. And I know that Eden has a great brunch, right?
We do. Absolutely.
I love it. So what makes, and let's just take, we can take it out. I know you have a great brunch. Let's take it out of the restaurant. Let's take it into people's homes or what people are thinking of a brunch. In your opinion, as a chef, what makes a great brunch?
Well, I think it you know, you want a good crowd of people that are close to you, bringing people to a table. That's kind of the most important thing to me. And we do that every Sunday. We did it today. We do brunch on Saturdays occasionally, like today, because we had the Westlake Market. It was it's food is all about bringing people together, and it's kind of a special thing, and making sure that you're doing it properly, as far as making sure that the food is prepared the right way.
So there's no rules really when you're serving a brunch. I know, you know, Vivian and I were Greek, so it's all about food. My favorite thing to do is to see people eat. It makes me so happy, and I love to be in the kitchen cooking it and then watch them eat it. I don't have to eat anything. It thrills me. It makes me so elated. So when you're saying the best thing about brunch is the people and setting the table and having them around you, does it matter what food is?
You have to do it a certain way, absolutely. I think that there's certainly a finesse about it that needs to be done, at least from my perspective.
Well, from a chef perspective, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as long as you're using high quality ingredients, and you know, it's a great way to bring people together.
Do you mix? Is there a theory behind it of mixing like the sweet with the savory? So you may have like waffles, and then another thing over here. You may have a scramble, then you may have, I don't know, mac and cheese or something like that. I don't know, any kind of sweet and savory at a table.
Sure. I think it's important. I mean, when me and my wife go out to eat, or we eat at our own restaurant, we order more dishes than would feed two people, so that we can try lots of things.
I think that's fun.
And that's important, and yeah, it's a good way to eat.
I wish that I could. I do that. I order too much. I over order because I want a little taste of everything, because it's so much fun, and then I'm like, I just over ordered. But in the same sentence, I would say I don't want to go to a tapas place because I don't like a lot of small plates. So that's not right.
Yeah.
I should be
sure.
I should like a tapas place. You get a lot of small bites. Tell me this, Chef. I'm talking with Chef Devin Quinn from Eden Chicago. Eden is in the West Loop. I love quiche. Is quiche still like a popular item to cook, or is it just totally like so 10 years ago? Or 30 years ago.
Oh, quiche! if you do it properly, can be very good. We don't currently have that on our menu, but eggs and many styles we do have.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it's all about the preparation.
What do you have a preparation for quiche? Could I ask you that?
Sure. It's about cooking low and slow.
Oh. And my last question: can you name the five mother sauces?
Oh, geez. Bechamel.
Oh, I put him on the spot.
You put him on the spot. Jane.
I know.
Oh, shoot.
There's a red sauce.
Yeah, I got two of them.
There's another. What's the white sauce with the, it's clear. Anyway, you don't have to answer that. I literally ask every chef, and I'm telling you, out of 10, one has got all of them. Oh, yeah. And he goes, named them all.
The good thing about new American cuisine is that we've done takes on a lot of the traditional French sauces, but made them lighter and more palatable to kind of today's day and age.
Right. More of a living healthy attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. As the host of Living Healthy Chicago, we always love the chefs to be cooking healthy for people in Chicago.
Absolutely. Very important.
Okay. Eat in Chicago. It is where?
We are at 1748 West Lake Street, right by the United Center.
Oh.
About two blocks north. Great for games or concerts.
That's great. And you have a little bar in there too.
We have a bar. Yes.
Yeah. Super fun. And reservations are yes.
Reservations are yes, but we take walk-ins, no problem.
That's awesome.
Anybody who wants to come eat, come on over.
And what's the website?
www.edeninchicago.com.
Eden in Chicago. I'm going to be eating at Eden in Chicago. Chef Devin Quinn from Eden Chicago, thanks so much for coming in. Now you got to get back to the restaurant and get all those other people to go, yeah, chef.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks so much. Okay, 720 WGN. I'm feeling I'll take it. 720 WGN. I'm Jane Monzuris, filling in on the Saturday night special. You can call and text us 312-981-7200. Love to hear from you. Just quickly pop in and say hello. Wouldn't that be nice, Vivi?
That would be nice. Why did you look at me like that about that song? It says feeling good.
I love it. I was dancing.
Well, yeah, I know you were, but we have an acupuncturist. And
oh, right. I see what you're saying.
Get it? Feeling good?
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me why we're here, because I just thought maybe I was playing and dancing to music. Hey, I know that I might have mentioned this during the show, but if you don't know, I host a TV show called Living Healthy Chicago. It airs Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV. By the way, I've been hosting that show for 10 years, and so I feel like sometimes people don't even know. So I want them to know and tune in and watch, because it's a really good show. On the show, we talk about healthy ways to live and stay healthy in Chicago. And this week, we did a story that I really thought everybody should know about, because it's sort of alternative medicine. And Vivian alluded to it, that we have an acupuncturist in the studio with us. She's our expert from the Galter Life Center. It is Bridget Schrank. Hi, Bridget.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. You're all calm and cool and relaxed, because that's your nature.
For the most part, yes.
Yes.
My job is to be calm, cool, and collective.
So, you know, I want to dive right into this, because we did the story on acupuncture, which is number one. You're sticking needles into someone's body.
Absolutely. But that's only one part of the medicine. That's only one tool in the toolbox. There's plenty of other things that we can do to help someone heal.
So is it about, when you do acupuncture, is it about chronic pain, or is it about overall wellness, or is it about both?
It can certainly be about both. Overall wellness is the ultimate goal, but we can certainly treat pain. But it spans so much farther than pain.
Right. Needles will kind of make people squeamish and they want to just run out of the room before they walk in. No one wants to get a needle stuck in them. I've done acupuncture even before I met you and before we did the story. And at first I was a little bit weirded by it. What is this going to feel like? It doesn't really hurt. What do you tell people? Obviously, they know what's going to happen. What do you tell them to prepare them?
Well, initially, I like to tell people to imagine that they're opening a window. And they're letting out everything that they no longer want to feel, for example. And then I like to tell them to focus on breathing. And with each exhale, they're releasing. And at the same time, when we open a window, we open a door, we're allowing ourselves to receive. And so it's so important to allow yourself to receive not just the needles, but the treatment itself, or to receive in life as a whole, because I think a lot of us have a hard time doing that. Many people choose to give and not all the time receive. So being really open to receiving and allowing.
And that's interesting, because if you're allowing and you're open to receiving and you sort of maybe are focusing on that and you're focusing on your breathing, you forget the needles are popping in. But how are the needles helping you receive? Is it the points that you're sticking them in?
It is the points. I mean, the entire body is connected. It's preposterous for us to think that our pinky toe isn't connected to our eye somehow. I mean, we really were born from two cells that grew upon themselves. And so every single cell that we have and every part of our body has grown off of another part of our body. So we have these residual vibrations of the organs, for example, that move through the arms, through the legs and the torso, the head, the feet, the wrists, the hands. And then depending on where we place the needle, we place our attention, that residual vibration will either go up that energetic line.
Oh, the channel.
The channel.
Right.
To the organs, or quite possibly to another organ that energetic line is connected to.
Wow.
So we can treat the channel, we can treat the organ, we can treat other organs.
Do you I've seen them, they stick in the wrist, sometimes they stick in the abdomen. I know the bottom of the foot is really sort of a map, right, to all the system.
So the bottom of the foot, are you referring to reflexology?
I don't know. Did you ever stick needles in the bottom of a foot?
There is one point in the bottom of the foot.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, it's the beginning of the kidney channel. But I think what you're referring to is reflexology, and it's similar, but that's a different mapping system than what we use.
So how can somebody who's coming in for acupuncture even just experiment and try? Maybe they don't need anything adjusted or fixed. They just want to do it for wellness. How can they prepare? I went in one time. I didn't know what to do, right? I'm just like this fool walking in and asking the woman, I'm like, I don't know. How do I get ready? You know, and so I wasn't really prepared. I didn't know what to do. Is there a way to prepare? Or you just show up and wear comfy clothes?
Showing up and wearing comfy clothes is definitely part of it. I think, you know, mentally preparing, allowing yourself to receive. I always say try to eat a little something, you know, within a couple of hours before treatment, because we are using needles. Also preparing for the evening, knowing that you should be resting for the most part afterwards. We don't really recommend a lot of rigorous exercise after treatment. I personally don't recommend substances. So anything from alcohol, marijuana, or even caffeine, because I want that patient to really understand how they're feeling for the next 24 hours.
You know, okay, so when we did our segment together, you did the triangle. So you had three needles in my right wrist, you had three needles in my left ear, and you had three needles in my left ankle.
Yes.
And everyone can watch this on Living Healthy Chicago. Immediately, I was in this zone of relaxation. And my cameraman and producer were like, Jane, can you talk? I mean, give us the end. You got to wrap this thing up. And I'm like, I'm so relaxed. Was it connected in a way to really sort of level me out?
Yeah.
So that's hard to do.
So that particular treatment is very specific for what Chinese medicine would refer to as calming the spirit or calming the mind, right? Chinese medicine is very philosophical. It's very poetic. So a lot of the terminology, you know, refers to nature and that sort of thing. So honestly, even if we could be treating the mind, we could be treating pain, we could be treating digestion, sleep, you name it, you're still going to have this relaxation effect from the treatment. You wouldn't think so, having needles in your body, right, but once they're in, you kind of go limp.
You really do. I think I actually now, in hindsight, I think maybe my producer called you on the side and paid you, like, just take her down. Relax her energy just a little bit. We need this. We need her to just calm down. That's just because I'm happy. I really like the idea of taking a moment for yourself, right? And self-care is such a big deal these days, and a lot of us don't do it.
That's absolutely right. I think that a lot of us are so busy working and going through our daily routines that we forget to think about ourselves in regards to our health. A lot of times we only think about our health when something's wrong.
Right.
And sometimes it's too late. It's never too late to start working on something, you know, but it's really important that we think of this medicine or any medicine as preventative.
Well, yeah, too, and that we want to do preventative, right? We want to live a healthy life to live till we're 90. We want to be healthy when we're 90. We want to be healthy when we're 100. When we do acupuncture, you look at our tongue, And it was super embarrassing. Why do you got to look at our tongue? Because if you're going to do it, Vivi, you got to stick your tongue out and they got to look at the back of it.
Ugh.
So brush your tongue.
Actually, we would say don't brush your tongue because we want to see. So let me back up.
Don't brush your tongue?
Don't brush your tongue. So that's part of the preparation phase. So we would say, so there's a little map of the tongue, of the different organs. So just like you were referring to the bottom of the foot, we have a little map on the tongue, and it represents different organs. So we're looking at the color of the tongue. That's going to tell us if there's any heat in the body or if there's any sort of deficiency or maybe stagnation of fluids or blood. And then we're looking at the tongue coating.
I did not know that.
The tongue coating tells us how the body is metabolizing fluids. So when you brush your tongue and you take some of that coating off, that gives us a slightly false reading.
So you want to see the tongue coating.
We want to see the tongue coating.
Gross.
I should not brush my tongue.
Don't brush your tongue.
Ever or just before I would see you, for
before
example.
Before acupuncture.
Just before you.
Okay.
Yeah. So I like to tell my students, because I teach Chinese medicine on the weekends, and I tell my students, when they're learning about the tongue, when you're dating someone, before you get serious, you should really check out their tongue to make sure that they're not too pathogenic.
That's a top tip.
That is a top tip. It's serious.
If you're swiping left or right on Tinder, ask to see a photo of the tongue.
I think so. I think that should be like a new thing. Like you only see tongues.
Would say that.
And you can swipe left or right according to the tongue.
Yeah, because then you're going to make sure you get a healthy person. The other thing we did, we do have to go to break, but I do want to mention we did cupping. Which is another form of Chinese medicine?
So that's one of the tools in the toolbox. Oh. And that is basically to move any stagnant blood or lactic acid that might be sitting in the tissue, pull it up and out of the tissue. At the same time, you're also pulling the tissue up and off of itself, off of the bony structures, and you're giving that flesh, you know, the room to breathe so that you can have fresh blood moving through it and healing that area.
I loved it. So you know what the cupping is, right, Vivian? It's the circles that you see people on the back.
Yeah, my grandmother used to do that to my grandpa all the time.
Oh, I think it's great. And I've only seen people do it. I think Gwyneth Paltrow made it popular like 10 years ago. Yeah. I liked it. It was like painful in a good way. Is that weird?
It's not weird. I really like it. The more painful, the better.
It looks painful.
It's so great.
It looks painful.
I'm all into the Chinese medicine. I like the integrated medicine approach.
I think integrating is really important because we really need both. We need Western medicine for diagnostics and procedures, and we also need Eastern medicine or any other alternative medicine to help us be preventative and give us the option for a natural, healthy lifestyle.
Sign me up, Living Healthy Chicago. She is a licensed acupuncturist, yes. Bridget Schrenk. How can people find you?
They can find me on the Galter Life Center website. It's galterlifecenter.org.
I love that. We will find you there. Thanks, Bridget. You're going to stick around. Chef Devin's still here. He's going to stick around. We're going to do a little thing we like to do at the end of the show called Love It or Hate It. You guys going to hang out? Yeah?
We're going
to
hang out.
Cool. Okay. 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
Won't you come see me?
WGN. I'm Jane Monzuris filling in for the Saturday night special. It's been a great night. Call or text us 312-981-7200. You can follow me on Instagram. I am at Jane Monzuris. All right, this is a part of the show that Pete and I like to do, Pete McMurray and I like to do, called Love It or Hate It. So I'm going to bring up a story that's coming up or happened this week, and then I want you to chime in and tell me why you love it or why you hate it. You got to have an answer. So we'll go around the room. We'll go around the horn, and we'll talk about it. So we know that baseball season opened here in Chicago Friday and Monday of this week. Both baseball parks have had renovations, right? So Wrigley, they've got the Canalita Club, and Guaranteed Rate has the Goose Island, which is, these are swanky new additions to the ballparks. So what's happening is there's padded upper deck seats in the Canalita Club, which would be for Wrigley Field. Tickets are kind of pricey. You get more food. It's kind of a special place to sit. At G-Rate, Guaranteed Rate, Goose Island has lots of seating and three rows of seats with leather chairs and TVs and cup holders. We're going to start with Bridget. Love it or hate it?
Love it.
Why?
Because I think that it's really nice to be comfortable when you're at an event.
There's
nothing worse than being uncomfortable.
Chef Devin is still here from Eat in Chicago. Devin?
Oh, I love it because you get some different choices of food other than hot dogs or the normal fare at ball games.
Okay, coming from a chef, Vivi.
Love it? Question mark?
You don't even know anything about baseball.
Not too much.
It's a diamond and they hit the ball.
Oh, that's right.
There's outfield, okay. There's an infield. Dave? David? Love it or hate it? All the renovations at the ballparks.
As long as they're not taking something away in the way of affordability to go to the game, it's cool. But if the price for that is higher ticket prices,
right?
Maybe not such a good idea.
So he loves it and he hates it. I hate it because I can't afford it and I won't ever get to go. In fact, I never get asked to go to a baseball game. Maybe I just go on my own and I sit in the bleachers and I'm fine with that. Okay. Late winter storm. Potential snow tomorrow? David, do you love it or you hate it? Good answer. Vivi, love it, hate it?
Come on, hate it. Come on, what kind of question is that, Jane?
Chef?
I hate it, but it happens every year.
I know. Bridget?
Hate it, it's April.
I know. I love it because it allows me to stay home and stay cozy and cook in my kitchen.
You can't do that when the sun is out?
You can barbecue outside.
I'm lying. I hate it. I hate it. I just wanted to be somebody with a different answer.
Okay. Just had to check, okay?
Thank you. Star Wars Celebration Chicago is happening at McCormick Place. It is a 5-day extravaganza. In fact, I was on Rush Street today, and I saw a bunch of like Luke Skywalkers getting into a bus going down to McCormick Place for the Star Wars extravaganza. Love it or hate it, Chef?
Always been a fan of Star Wars.
So you love it?
Yeah, love it.
Bridget?
Love it. It's like Halloween all over again.
Vivian's like, what is Star Wars?
It's true. Boy. I was just going to tell you. I'm sorry, Dave. I'm sorry. I'm not a big fan of Star Wars. I'm sorry. But I will love it because it sounds like fun.
Okay. Dave, love it or hate it?
Love it.
Why? You love Star Wars?
Yes. I've seen all the movies. Thank you.
Gosh, I guess I love it. I don't know anything about Star Wars, but I love it for the people that love it, right? It brings people to our city. It allows people to get dressed up. I guess I love it. I'm not going to go. Dave, are you going?
No.
No. Okay. And then I have one final question. Well, this is so serious. Do I even go there or do we just break? I'll just break. Hey, it's been Bridget Schrank, our licensed acupuncturist. Thank you so much for joining us here and talking about acupuncture. Chef Devin Quinn from Eat in Chicago. Thanks for sticking around playing my love it or hate it game.
Thank you.
We are going to be back to talk with Dave Hoekstra. My last love it or hate it was Chicago PD suing Jussie Smollett. Dave, love it, hate it.
I'll reserve opinion. I'm not supposed to. I shouldn't have one.
You're a newsman. I understand that. I know. That's why we're breaking right now. Thank you guys for coming in. We'll be right back at 720 WGN. 720 WGN. I'm Jane Monzuris in the Allstate Skyline studio filling in for the Saturday night special. I had such a great time. Thank you, Vivian, for producing for me.
Thank you. I had so much fun. It's always a pleasure.
It's so fun. David, thanks for hanging out and holding down the fort with all the important news of the day. Oh, there we go. Hey, you can always follow me. Yes, Dave? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I just said you're welcome.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Follow me on Instagram or Twitter @JaneMonzuris. Love being here, and I really appreciate you listening.